4 and 5. Now's your time to escape the service, all kids 3, 4, and 5. Appreciate those who are serving with you back there during the Sunday evening service. God bless them. Psalm number 25 again tonight, Psalm 25. While you're finding your place, let me give you a couple of announcements tonight, if I may. I remind you about this book that I began to push this morning. It's a book that Dr. Paul Chappell and his wife wrote on marriage. It's called Are We There Yet? And the subtitle is Marriage, A Perfect Journey for Imperfect Couples. If you're married, you qualify, no doubt about it. And I encourage you to sign up for this book. It's $19. That's just what they charge, and the church is going to be ordering it for you, getting it here, all of those kind of things. There's a sign-up sheet for this if you'd like to order yourself a copy. And once they get in, you can pay for it then, okay? $19, but we need to get an idea of how many books to order. So I encourage you, if you're a married couple and want to get this for yourself, I encourage you to get it. My wife and I are going to get it. All of this, she's going to pay for it. I'm going to get it, all these kind of things. No matter how good your marriage may be, it can always be better. No question about that. And I encourage you to get one of these. Sign up for it. Let us know that you want that. And my wife wants me to remind you that she would like to meet with all girls, teenagers, through college age. Teenagers through college age. Even beyond that. Say up to 30 years old if you're single. Okay? Single. My wife would like to meet with you and your mothers tonight. You and your mothers, if your mothers are here, if not, she'd still like to meet with you, okay? That'll be in the chapel tonight, and I'll just read what she said. Please announce meeting in chapel after the church. At the bottom, I'm in love with you. Amen. I like that right there. Very good. She's not in here to verify it, but did she really say that? Yes or no? How many of y'all think yes? Would you raise your hand? How many of y'all think no? Would you raise your hand? I need to meet with you after church tonight. That is really troubling that you say no to that. I'm going to tell my wife that you said you don't think she loves me. That's hey, right there it is. How many of you still can't see it? Would you raise your hand? Yes. Yes. All right. Very good. Yes. Hey, it's just good to be alive tonight, right? Amen. Have fun in Jesus Christ. By the way, that's the best kind of fun. That's the kind of fun you don't have to feel bad about later. Amen. Psalm number 25, verse number 16. I began this message this morning. I encourage you to go back and get it just in case you were not here. Because this morning I was building a foundation to this thought. I have three series going on right now. Two of them are topical. And this is one of them on Satan's strongholds. In other words, the different things that the devil will try to bring into your life to tie you down. To hold you captive. I've preached on a number of these over the last several years, from special thing with men on pornography, to bitterness, to anger, to jealousy. And then tonight we are continuing with this thought that I began this morning on the stronghold of loneliness. The stronghold of loneliness. We see this in Psalm 25, verse 16. Where David is writing and says, turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. That word desolate, if you look it up, it means I am lonely. I am all alone and I am afflicted. And I'm preaching to you tonight, part two now. Again, I strongly encourage you, if you were not here this morning, go back and get it. I'll tap it on the head, but not like I did this morning. Some of this will be repeat when I get started here. Let's pray together. Father, would you bless? Would you challenge us tonight? Would you give us help from the Word of God? And we thank you that our help is found in you and in your precious Word. Would you challenge us tonight and give victory, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. A man in psychology today said there is no more destructive influence on physical and mental health than the isolation of you from me and of us from them. One preacher said, we've all seen the polls that point to shorter lifespans for lonely people. And when surveys are taken to discover the central concerns of society, loneliness nearly always tops the list. See, we were created for fellowship, and deprival of fellowship, it can be deadly. There was another man who wrote about walking through a cemetery and coming across the tombstone of a lady named Grace Smith. There was no date of birth and no date of death. There were no facts about her life or work or interest other than the names of her two husbands and this epitaph that read, "Sleeps but rests not, loved but was loved not, tried to please but pleased not, died as she lived, alone." One man wrote, "It comes to all of us sooner or later. Friends die, family dies, we get old, we get sick, and in a society where people live in impersonal cities or suburbs, where electronic entertainment often replaces one-to-one conversation, where people move from job to job and state to state and marriage to marriage, loneliness has become an epidemic." What is this thing called loneliness? It's a sick feeling in the stomach that seltzer water won't cure. It's an anxiety that doesn't come or go, but remains with you at all times and smothers you in the still of night. It's a sharp pain that jolts through you when you hear a certain song or revive an old memory. It's a subtle stress that quietly wears you down until you feel devoid of energy or enthusiasm. Above all, loneliness is a longing for completeness. And a lot of people try to handle this unwanted craving in a wrong way. They'll try to fill it with food or drink or drugs or work. And sometimes they even strain relationships that they've been giving by placing obsessive demands on those relationships. People flee into fantasy worlds or flee into new cities or new businesses or new churches or new relationships. Some handle loneliness by taking their own lives. Teenagers are among those who experience it deeply and desperately and have brought an upsurge in suicidal attempts. Needless to say this evening that loneliness is something that can become a monster in our lives. Loneliness is something that can take place even in a crowded room. It's something that you can have all kinds of people around you and yet feel like you're the loneliest person on planet Earth. And this stronghold, this thought of being lonely, Satan uses to keep so many of God's children from becoming everything God wants them to be. There were two things I shared with you this morning. First, I'll just tap it on the head. First of all, we noticed the candidates for loneliness. And we noticed this morning that those who are single, those who are married, those who lose a loved one, those who are senior citizens who cannot do what they used to and are limited and falling under the care of their own children, those who are suffering and those who serve God, go back and get it. Please go back and get it. Secondly, we looked at it this morning, the cases of loneliness in the Bible. And among those who were lonely in the Bible, there were two names that I brought out this morning. One of them was King David. We read it here and other passages. And the other one was Paul, the great Apostle Paul, that God used tremendously. Yet at the end of his life, he was very, very lonely. Then we ended this morning with the greatest loneliness is not temporary loneliness on this earth, but eternal loneliness, those that die without Christ and go to hell for eternity. But thank God that Jesus Christ died alone so you and I don't have to be alone for eternity. That's where we left off this morning. Tonight I'm going to number three. We've looked at the candidates for loneliness. Basically, if you're breathing, you're a candidate. Number two, we looked at the cases in the Bible of loneliness. Now, number three, going to give you 2 points tonight. Thirdly, we look at the cure for loneliness. Now, folks, as we come to this part of the message, we need to understand that it is not a sin to experience loneliness, but it is a sin to indulge in it. It's not a sin to be lonely. It comes to everybody. It's part of being a human being. But it is a sin to indulge in it and allow it to possess you and wreck your life and keep you from becoming all God wants you to be. Now, when I give you this outline tonight, you're going to say, "Is that what I came back for? Are you serious? Do you mean that you pushed that this morning to get me back tonight and I came for that?" Yes. May I say this to you? These are all strongholds. And there are not many answers to them. There's one. It's the same answer for every one of them. It's not, well, that stronghold needs to be dealt with that, and that one needs to be dealt with this. No, it's the same outline for every one of these. It's just everyone may have a unique part that you may need to add something to it, if you understand what I'm saying to you. Let me give you a three-point outline right here under number three, the cure for loneliness. I may be speaking to somebody who's a lonely single, whether you've never been married or maybe you've been married and divorced and you're very lonely. I may be speaking to somebody who's married, but you're lonely. You know, marriage, unfortunately, can become a very lonely place. I hope that's not you, but if that's the case, there are married folks who are very lonely. I may be talking to a senior citizen that you're just discouraged because you're limited now and you feel alone. Maybe speaking of somebody has a physical problem. Just going back to the candidates here is all I'm doing. Maybe you have a physical problem and you're hurt and you feel lonely. Maybe you're a servant of God that's sold out and you've been more lonely now than you ever have been. What's the cure for it? What's the help in it? You ready for something simple? I hope you are, because that's all I am, just simple. Number one, here we go now. I already gave it to you this morning. I'm going to dwell on it here a little bit. Number one, admit you're lonely. Admit it. Now, we know loneliness is not a drug, okay? But let me just illustrate the same principle here. You know one of the greatest things about a drug addict that's one of the hardest things to get them to do, and this dear man can verify this for me, it's to get them to admit, I need help. It's to get them to admit, I have a problem. Folks, listen to me. God can work when we get honest. Let me say that again. God can work when we get honest. There is nothing wrong with you being lonely. Nothing wrong. It's only wrong if you let it become a stronghold and you let it start ruling your life and you let it stop you from doing what God wants you to do. The first thing to do is to get honest. Just get honest. We need to admit when we're lonely and not try to hide it under some super spiritual speech. Say that five times fast. You ever heard this? I'm not lonely. I've got Jesus. Well, that's true. And He is enough, and we shouldn't be lonely. But on planet Earth, listen to me, please. Don't try to be a super Christian. If you're lonely and you're struggling with it, get honest about it. Let God hear you say, I am lonely. I need help. I need fellowship. One preacher put it this way, loneliness doesn't necessarily come because of something you did or something someone did or because of something you lack. It comes because you're a human being. Accept it as part of the human experience. Then you'll be able to move on to God's way of dealing with it. God did not create you to be alone. Did you know that? He did not create you to separate yourself, be in isolation, and never be have fellowship, never have strength of others. God didn't create you that way. And may I say this to you, if you find yourself lonely, admit it. Let me give you a second thing. Here it is. You had to know this was coming. It's under every stronghold. Number two, not only admit that you're lonely, but number two, allow God's Word to help you. Allow God's Word to help you. Now, there is no doubt that one of the great ways to combat against loneliness is to get into the Word of God and meditate on the goodness of God and His wonderful promises. No question about it that one of the secrets to strongholds, plural, any stronghold, including this one, is learning how to use the Word of God as a sword. There's no question about this. For instance, and this church has heard me say this multiple times, but it applies right here. In the New Testament, when the Lord Jesus Christ had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible teaches that after that, He was hungry. Now, I get hungry after 40 minutes, but anyway, 40 days and 40 nights, He's hungry. And the Bible says the tempter came to Him. Now, that's the devil. He's identified as the devil. the tempter came to him and began to tempt him in specific areas. Now, bear with me because I know most of you have gone down this road with me multiple times, but it applies here. It's interesting where the devil started his attack. He started it in the area of food. Now, what was the Lord at this time? He was hungry. So there's where the devil started his attack, with food. And the Lord quoted Scripture. He said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If you know the rest of the story, he takes him and he puts him up on the pinnacle of the temple and tempts him to commit suicide and misquote Scripture out of context, all of that. And the Lord quoted again, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He shows him all the kings of the world and says, I'll give you all these kingdoms if you'll just bow down and worship me. The Lord quoted again, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Look here, please, don't miss it. The devil tempted him with food. So the Lord quoted a verse that dealt with food. The devil just tempted him to commit suicide, so the Lord dealt with not tempting him, the Lord thy God. The devil tempted him to try to get him to worship him, and the Lord quoted a verse that deals with worshiping God. Here it is, my friends. You need to learn scriptures that deal with loneliness. And when you find yourself lonely, you start quoting these scriptures out loud. You start meditating on these scriptures in your heart and mind. And you use the Word of God as a sword, just like I've explained multiple times in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, talking about the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. The Bible says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that word there, talking about the Bible, is the word rhema in the original language. And the word rhema in the original language means individual parts of the Bible. It doesn't mean the whole Bible. It means individual parts of the Bible. Interesting, isn't it? That it says when you're fighting the devil, the wiles of the devil, you don't use the whole Bible. You use parts of it. Could that be verses like Jesus did? May I say to you that one of the greatest things you can do when you find yourself, even in a crowded room, and you feel all alone, is to quote verses like Psalm 27:10, when my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Quote verses like Isaiah 49:15, can a woman forget her sucking child? That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. But God said, yet will I not forget thee. What a great verse for lonely people. Isaiah 41:10, God said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. What a great verse for lonely people. Matthew 11:28 through 30, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5-6, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, folks, this is the secret to living in victory over strongholds. There's no question about it. I'm talking about the stronghold of loneliness here. And when you start feeling lonely, nobody knows, nobody understands. You know, folks cry that out without ever saying it from their lips. Their heart is crying it out. I'm lonely, 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 lonely. Admit that to God. Tell him, I am lonely, God. I need help. And then go to the Word of God and dwell on these thoughts that God is with you. God will never leave you. You are important to Him. And dwell on those things and cast yourself upon Him. There's no question about this. Then a third thing. Here's the third thing tonight. Not only should we admit it and allow God's Word to help us. But number three, here's a big one. Now, they're all big, but here's a big one that applies to loneliness. You know, sometimes a stronghold is a little different than the other one because that doesn't apply to this one, but it applies to that one. You understand? Let me give you something that applies to loneliness here that a lot of lonely people do not do. And it's so simple. Here it is. You ought to attach yourself to other believers. You ought to attach yourself to other believers. Here's what I mean. Along with allowing God's Word to help you, we should also make sure that we are attached to other children of God. You know, it's not good for somebody who feels lonely to shrink away from available fellowship. Available fellowship that there is in Jesus Christ. Now, you got to know where I'm going with this, right? One preacher put it this way. This next statement may seem rather blunt. I'm quoting. This next statement may seem rather blunt, but it's true. Loneliness is a choice. I didn't say it. I'm just quoting. Not the isolated moments that we experience. In other words, he's not talking about if you lose a mate and then you feel like... He's not talking about that, okay? Not the isolated moments that we all experience, but the lingering, pervasive loneliness. The lingering, pervasive loneliness is a choice. Let me tell you why. Because God has provided us with everything we need. And if we choose to dwell in the lifestyle of loneliness, that's a choice that we make. He has given us His Son. He has given us His Word. He has given us the precious gift of our brothers and sisters in Christ. One group, I don't even know who this is, but I'm still quoting this man. It says Simon and Garfunkel, whoever that is, once sang, "I am a rock, I am an island." But the Bible song is that Jesus is the rock, so you don't need never be an island. Amen. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, here's what it says. Two are better than one. Because they have a good reward for their labor, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. For he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they shall have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. The point is, good Christian friends can help you in loneliness. They can. That doesn't mean that they can help you at 3 o'clock in the morning when you wake up and feel lonely. By the way, there's nothing wrong with that. That's normal. That's not what this quote is about. Shame on you. No. Just talking about when it's beating you down and you choose to isolate yourself and just shrink away into an isolated room and rot. That's a choice, friends. That's a choice. Don't ever let the devil cause you to go in isolation yourself just because you feel isolated. Can I say that again? Don't make the choice to isolate yourself even though you feel isolated. It's one of the worst things you can do. Now, let me give you some applicable thoughts here about attaching yourselves to other Christians. Join the choir. Amen, Brother Gary? Get in the choir. Get around other believers serving God. Hey, somehow, some way, get involved in the Sunday school class. Get in Sunday school. By the way, Sunday school is where it's at. Amen. That's the big church becoming small. That's what it is. Get in Sunday school. Get in a group where you can connect with some people. And by the way, you know, here's the thing. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. This church ought to actively be trying to connect other people. No question. We who are connected should be looking for unconnected people, trying to connect them to people. You understand what I'm saying to you? But what sometimes can be weary are those who are unconnected, they stay unconnected, and then they're like, well, they just don't have anything for me to do there. I just don't know anybody. Nobody cares about me, and they won't help themselves. Amen tonight. Get in Sunday school. Get into a Sunday school class and start connecting with some good, solid Christian friends. Let me give you something else. Volunteer in a ministry. You want to, listen, if you want to experience some of the greatest fellowship in your life, serve God with others in this local church. Get on a bus route. Help the ETSU ministry. Help the John Sevier Center. Help the international ministry. Help the children's churches. Help it. Just find a ministry and serve God together. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know what you'll find? Listen to me, please. If you admit you're lonely, and then you allow God's Word to help you day after day, week after week, listen, I need help every day. No question about that. That's the Word of God. This doesn't take the place of the Word of God, but this comes right along beside of it. You know what you're going to find? I can't wait till Sunday comes. I can't wait till Wednesday night gets here. I can't wait till Sunday school, because you know you've been lonely Tuesday and Thursday and Friday, but you know Sunday's coming, and you know you're going to have some sweet fellowship with some of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, folks, that's one of the secrets. If we were to take a single string, just a single string, it could easily be snapped. But if you entwine two other strings with it, and that one becomes three, just intertwined, it will withstand your same efforts to be broken. As one man said, together we're greater than the sum of our parts. The Lord likens His children, I've already alluded to this today, but the Lord likens His children to individual parts of one body in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as a preacher said it this way, body parts are only so much biological tissue. But when those parts come together, they live and breathe and have life. Now, you separate it from the body, it's going to die. You cut your finger off, friends, it's going to die. You cut your foot off, it's going to die. All it is just some biological tissue, but when it all comes together, it lives, it breathes, it has life. It's this principle I'm trying to teach here. Don't separate yourself. He wants you to be part of something alive and dynamic and greater than yourself. If you find yourself lonely, don't make it worse by separating yourself from God's people, but rather attach yourself to as many of God's people as you can. Now, isn't that simple tonight? Yeah, honestly, is it not simple? Admit that you're lonely, allow God's Word to help you biblically, using it as a sword, and attach yourself to as many of God's people as you can. And a great way to do that is in the house of God. Now let me give you a final thought tonight. And that is, we've looked tonight, all day today, at the candidates for loneliness. Basically, if you're breathing, you're a candidate. We've looked at the cases in the Bible of loneliness, and we looked at two, David and Paul. We've looked at the cure for loneliness. Admit it. Allow God's Word to help you and use it as a sword. Meditate on it. Quote it. All these kind of things. Attach yourself to God's people. A great way to do that in a church like this is get involved. Go to Sunday school. Get in a ministry. Whatever the case may be, just get involved with other Christians. Attach yourself. And then in closing tonight, I want to share this with you, because I couldn't get away from this as I was studying this and meditating on this message. Number four, that's the chase after the lonely. The chase after the lonely. Here's what I mean. You know, although this message was aimed at all of us as individuals to guard against loneliness personally. In other words, this message is about how I don't have to be lonely. You don't have to be lonely, okay? That's the basic thought of the message. Let us not forget to be active in our pursuit to help the lonely. Now, as one man said, I think each of us also has the responsibility to look out for the stray sheep. Now, let this speak to you. Just as Jesus spoke of leaving the 99 to seek out the one lamb, you and I have a special ministry in pulling those who are estranged and alienated. We should rise on Sunday morning having our time with God and ask Him to send us to the one who needs us the most. It's easy for us to gravitate to the great herd of sheep where we've been comfortable and loved. I mean, that's our place of comfort. Our own sheep that we gather around every Sunday. And that's a good thing. I'm not belittling that. That's a good thing. But let's also go after those who are all alone. You know, the ministry of acceptance and encouragement is our distinguishing mark in this world. What I mean by that is this. Just like I told us, get in Sunday school, get involved, you do it as an individual. May the Sunday school classes and all those who are serving, like those in the choir and those on the buses and those who are in the international ministry and those who are in the cancer ministry and those who are in this and in that and in this and in that, let us be active in looking for somebody who's a stray sheep. You know, this is one of the great ministries of the church itself. Should we be active in winning the lost to Jesus Christ? That's a crazy question, right? The answer is an obvious yes. But may I say this to you? That's not the only thing the church is to do. Something else the church is to do is to care for its own body. If somebody drops out of your Sunday school class and you don't know it, there's a problem. Amen. Now I'm trying to do some pastoring here tonight too. Somebody stops coming on your bus route and you don't know why, something's wrong. If somebody can fall through the cracks, you know what we've been trying to do around? I'm still doing it. I'm trying to plug up the cracks. It should not be easy for anybody to fall through the cracks. Nobody. So let me ask you a question, Sunday school teachers, group captains, adults, Sunday school superintendents and teachers. Are there people falling through the cracks? You don't even know it? Let me say this to you. I know that some folks who fall through the cracks, a lot of times they've made that choice. I get it. They make that choice. But they ought to know that if they're going to fall through the cracks, we're going to give them every opportunity to grab a hold of a string to pull them back through. Amen or not? Now that's what we ought to be doing. And this is what I mean by the chase after the lonely. You know, have you ever been experiencing something? Going through something? Been going through a trial? Can I give you a personal illustration? This week I was really burdened, praying, seeking God, and I was carrying a burden. I didn't know anybody but my wife knew exactly all the burden that I was carrying. All of it. Now, I'm not trying to say, whoa, this is an illustration. I'm just showing you that it works. Went to visit the hospital, and I was visiting with Alan Cash, and burden for him, and praying and seeking the Lord. On the way out of there, my truck just magically pulled into Chick-fil-A. I mean, it was amazing how that happened. Just amazing. I mean, I took my hands off the wheel. It parked itself, everything. It was great. I went in and I ordered. I didn't know I looked burdened, nothing. I just ordered. Lady there knows me. My wife told me, you know, it's sad when people at Chick-fil-A know you. You know what I mean? I don't even know her name. I ordered, and I noticed it came up 000000. This happened this week. And I said, she said, just be blessed. She said, I can tell your burden today. I didn't tell her that. I didn't go in there like this. Oh. I just walked in, ordered. Typically, I have a smile on my face when I'm ordering at Chick-fil-A, you know what I mean? And I ordered. And when she did that, nobody saw me. You know your pastor, he's just a big crybaby. You know that. I sat there at my table and tears were coming out of my eyes. Because God helped me through a Christian who chased after me. The moral of the story, when I'm burdened, go buy me Chick-fil-A. It'll cheer me up just like that. That's the moral of the story. No, here's the thing. That lady may never know what that meant to me. She helped me. Your pastor. Let me tell you why. Because I'm a human just like you are. And that person that you're thinking of right now, maybe right now in Sunday school, well, you know, he's saying it. Where have they been? Maybe the Holy Spirit's doing that right now. You know, come to find out, I've not seen them in a couple of weeks. Where are they? You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit of God's what that is. And the one thing that may make the difference is a phone call and say, I was thinking about you, missing you. We sure do love you around here. Anything I can help you with? Look here, please. God will be pleased with that. You say, what can I do here? That's something everybody can do right there. Reach out to fellow believers. Listen to God this week. And when you see somebody and God puts somebody on your heart and you're praying for them, tell them. Say, God put you on my heart this week. I want you to know I prayed for you. That's all chasing after the lonely. You get it? You understand what I'm trying to get across? This is it. And may the Lord help us with this. No doubt about it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, would you bless tonight? Challenge us from your word. Help us to be faithful to you. And Lord, I pray that you'll guide us by your Spirit. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nothing new tonight. Not some great revelation tonight, no. I told you this morning that it's going to be so simple. It's very, very simple tonight. And this is not the cure for loneliness that you only do one time and it's over. It doesn't work that way. You have to work it. As they began to play through softly, I wonder tonight, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ? Do you know the Lord? If there's one tonight that's never said yes to Jesus, why don't you come when we give the altar call? Let us take a Bible and share the gospel with you. Or maybe tonight, God's speaking to you because you're lonely. And you know what I mean. I don't have to describe it. You know right now exactly what I'm talking about. And you think to yourself, boy, that's me. I'm lonely. Maybe you're a lonely leader. Maybe a lonely sick person or a lonely married person or a lonely single person or just lonely. And you battle it. You know you battle it. God can help you. Admit it. Don't be ashamed of it. Allow God's Word to give you help. Get some verses that combat against it. And when you feel these thoughts and the devil's trying to bombard your mind, get your Bible out, read them out loud, quote them out loud. Thrust the devil away from you. And every time you can find a Christian, some of the best things you can do at your work, because work is a lonely place for you. But maybe there's another believer there. Maybe there's somebody else that's a Christian. Obviously, I would encourage men with men and ladies with ladies, obviously, there, but connect to them. And look forward to Wednesday night. Look forward to Sunday morning and Sunday night. Get into Sunday school. Find a ministry. Get active. Connect with people. Or maybe the Lord's speaking to you tonight, maybe as a Sunday school teacher. And maybe God's convicting you and saying, you know, the pastor's right. Got to be active in this, searching and chasing after the lonely. And may God help us to be sensitive, to follow Him as we go after others. Matter of fact, I will ask you to raise your hand for this. Is there somebody that you know, that if you had to answer the question, are they lonely, you would say, I think they are. Or you would say, I know they, either you know they are or you think they are, that they are struggling with loneliness. Have you know somebody like that? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Look at that, look at that, look at that. If you got your hand raised, I'd like you to lower it and look at me just a moment. Now ultimately, these folks are going to have to do the things that I preached about tonight. But you can help them. Get this message and give it to them and say, would you please listen to this? Would you listen to it? And then I want to talk to you about it. It's a sad thing when somebody's drowning in loneliness. It's a sad thing. And we want to help them not settle for it, but ask God to help them get out of it. And if you'll notice, some of these folks that you raised your hand about tonight, some of them are choosing loneliness. Not all of them, but some of them. They're out of church. They don't go to church anywhere. They just sit alone. And they need help. May the Lord help us to do this. God's heart goes out to them. And they need it. No question. I think it'd be a great thing if you're looking at me now when Brother Gary begins to sing to come. Bring them to the altar with you. And say, God, would you use me to give them victory over their loneliness? And let God lead you. I don't even know what that means. Let God lead you. Father, would you bless it and use it, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As Brother Gary sings, if God is speaking to you, come on. Come
now.
Now
I praise now, thee, precious Savior,
Lord,
that thy love laid hold of me.
God, help me to help
them. And
show me what to do, O God.
That I might thy channel be. Channels only,
you need Jesus,
blessed
come.
Master,
you need to be saved,
but
come.
With all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour.
Playing through, we're just about done. Have you know somebody who is very sick at this time? And you know that they've got to be feeling all alone. Would you raise your hand? Somebody that may be gone through surgery or just sick, something like that. May God help you to help them. They may be very, very lonely. Sometimes just a phone call. Just a note of encouragement. Just a visit. Say, I'm thinking about you. God's in this, friends. There's no question about it. Brother Gary, sing that verse one more time. Nobody else comes, we'll be done. Well, let's let the Lord have His way tonight, shall we? As He sings, if you want to come, come on now. Come to the Lord.
How I praise Thee, blessed Savior, that Thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might Thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour.
As they're playing through, we're going to be dismissed in prayer. A couple of reminders. All the girls and mothers, teenagers, through ladies 30 years and under, okay, who are single. You're going to meet with my wife in the chapel. Please go straight there if you wouldn't mind to do that. And then if you're interested in getting this book, Are We There Yet? Married Couples, here it is. Or maybe you want to get it for somebody else. Let me encourage you to sign up for this so we know how many to get, okay? And I appreciate you being here tonight. Be back in the Lord's house on Wednesday night. It'll be good, okay? Brother Barney Bear, sir, if you wouldn't mind to stand and dismiss us in prayer, please. Thank you for coming tonight.